We'll be continuing our Passing on the Legacy of Enduring Faith, 2 Timothy series. And we are now in our fourth week, okay, or study of this book or letter of Paul to Timothy, second letter of the Apostle Paul. And we have looked at the first part, the paternal encouragement in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 1, and we've seen how Paul wanted to give this as a personal encouragement to his son in the faith, Timothy, and how he could continue on, you know, in the work of ministry and in his walk with God. Okay, so yun po yung encouragement po niya kay Timothy. And then we've been looking at this section in verses 6 to 18. It's been titled "The Perseverance in the Truth of the Gospel," because more than anything, okay, Paul had already reminded Timothy that things are going to really be fierce. The battle is going to be fierce. There are going to be greater difficulties, situations that he is going to face in his life and in the ministry. And opposition will come even from within the church, so that he wanted to impart to Timothy, okay, that call to persevere in the truth of the gospel. First things first, you know, the perseverance that he's being called upon is perseverance in the truth of the gospel. Okay, so that in effect, okay, magagabayan po siya sa kanyang buhay, sa kanyang lakad. And here also we've seen some areas where we need to continually build up, okay, in ourselves as God's people. And particularly, in-apply po muna ito ni Pablo, no, kay Timothy. And in terms of the way that we persevere, we said that we need a wholehearted lifelong commitment of obedience to Christ, okay, reflected in our faithful witness, even in the face of opposition and persecution. This is what we wanted to experience as well in our lives, that God will continue to give us that desire to persevere, that desire to take courage, to be committed to the Lord, whatever the cost, whatever difficulties and persecutions we experience in the process. Okay, dahil alam po natin, hindi po tayo in-spare ng Panginoon sa mga trials and persecutions ng buhay po na ito. We have our own share of difficulties and trials, and in those things, we need to be faithful and we need to persevere in those areas. So we've been looking at 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 18. And we said also we've been called to proclaim Christ unashamedly, faithfully, courageously, regardless of dangers and difficulties. So we've asked the question, how do we become faithful followers? How do we do this? Okay, how do we become faithful proclaimers of the precious gospel in these crucial times? So we've seen four areas. We've said we need to rekindle God's gift in our lives. Okay, ang una po nito kay Timothy, sabi ni Paul kay Timothy, kindle afresh the gift of God. And as God's people, we have received a gift. We know that when the Lord had placed us into His kingdom, He had not meant for us to be unemployed. Okay, we have something to do, because we are His workmanship, created in Christ to do the works that He had ordained for us to do. Okay, so in his particular gifting, Timothy was gifted to be an evangelist, as a pastor and a preacher of the gospel. And Paul wanted him to do that, okay, to fulfill that call. And he reminded him to kindle that afresh. Secondly, he wanted Timothy to realize or to revitalize God's resources in his life. He was not given the spirit of timidity, but the power of love and of discipline. Okay, and these three areas that we need to understand, we need to apply, we need to appropriate in our lives. We've been given the power, and not just any power, brethren, but the power of God, the power of His Holy Spirit that brought Christ from the dead, the power that has transformed us into a new creation, the power that is now at work in us to transform us to become more and more like Jesus in all that we go through, in all areas of our lives, the power that sustains us, the power that allows us to accomplish God's will in our lives. No, madami pong application po yan sa buhay po natin. And then the love, the motivation to be able to love the Lord first and foremost, and we serve Him out of love, and we serve others through that love, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts, and the same love compels us to do God's will in our lives. And of course, to balance it all, we need discipline. We need to be disciplined in being able to appropriate the time, the resources, the giftings, whatever God had given to us, to be able to utilize those things for His purposes. Okay, so God has already provided everything we need. Okay, in that pertains to life and godliness. Kailangan po natin maunawaan na tayo na po ay pinagpala na ng Panginoon. Minsan humingi po tayo ng pagpapala sa Diyos. Okay, maybe what we mean is some physical provisions or some material things or some areas no na ma-experience natin, no, personally sa buhay natin. But in actuality, brethren, we have already been blessed. Okay, spiritually speaking, of course. Okay, and through our spiritual blessedness, we begin to recognize na kung priority po natin ang spiritual na blessing natin sa Panginoon, whatever happens in our lives, we still recognize na, Lord, I am in the best position right now. Panginoon, kahit wala po akong pera, kahit wala po akong ganito, kahit hindi ko na-enjoy yung good health, Panginoon, I'm still blessed because I have You in my life. I'm still blessed because I have the eternal blessings that You have given to me in Christ. I am still thankful and grateful for who I am in Christ and what I have been given because of what He has done. So all these resources belong to us, brethren. Thirdly, we need to recognize God's purpose in suffering. The last time we talked about this, okay, we've seen all the areas. The Lord allows us to be prepared. The Lord allows us to truly experience sufferings based on our identification with Him, based on our conformity to Him as our Lord and Savior, that the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ is suffered first for us so that we too, as we follow Him, okay, if they persecuted Him, they will also persecute us. In the world, He said, you will experience tribulations. Whoever wants to live a godly life, Paul reminds Timothy that later on we're going to see that in chapter 3. Whoever wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. And suffering is part of the purpose of God, no, for us as His children, because He refines our faith, He accomplishes His will, He shows us the things that really matter before Him as we go through sufferings. First, for His glory and for our good. No, sinabi po natin ng suffering, basically, pinapakita po ng Panginoon ang kanyang kalatian, that in our weakness, He is continually honored and glorified as we depend on Him and as we put our trust in Him. And then, of course, napaganda po ng kanyang ginagawa po in transforming us into the likeness of His Son. The good purpose in Romans chapter 8, 29. Okay? Conforming us to His Son, Jesus. And the command then to be not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering, sabi ni Paul, for the gospel according to the power of God. Again, okay, he shows them that even in the midst of suffering, the power of God is at work. That same power is made available for us to be able to endure, to be able to grow, to be able to persevere, to be able to say, Lord, it is all worth it. Lord, I know that there are more things, Lord God, beyond what I see that You are accomplishing in my life. That, Lord, even if it's getting more and more difficult, it's getting better and better. Remember Paul's reminder to the Corinthians that though our outer man is decaying, what does he say? The inner man is being renewed day by day. It is continually being renewed, brethren. And that is our hope, that is our joy, that is our consolation, brethren, when we go through sufferings and our outward man decays and one day be subject to death. Yes, brethren, we have the assurance that there is life in the Lord. And we said our faithfulness and our identification often results in suffering. But in the midst of it all, we must remain centered in God's gospel call. At doon po tayo natapos the last time. We've looked at verses 9 to 11 because the apostle himself wanted to remind Timothy, this is the center of our focus. We know the gospel, we breathe the gospel, we live out the gospel, and we continue in this gospel. Okay, we continue in this gospel. And so Paul reminded Timothy when he said that it is God who had saved us. Okay, God who called us into this holy calling, not according to our works, but by His grace, but according to His own purpose and grace He granted to us from all eternity. Okay, the eternal calling of God. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So, kita po natin ang kung paano dinil ng Lord ang kamatayan at kung paano po pinatunayan ng Lord that there is life eternal. Okay? He put an end to death and He brought immortality to light. There is eternal life in God. And so, we begin now in verses 11 to 14, actually tatapusin hanggang verse 18 po, no, because we understand, no, this powerful God saved us and is equally able to keep us. Okay, so we will see the characteristics now of those who persevere, verses 11 to 18. But for our purpose this morning, we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12 lamang po. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 11 to 18, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a chief teacher. For this reason also suffer these I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom all are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant Onesiphorus, grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well that what services he rendered at Ephesus. So here, brethren, we'll be looking at four characteristics of those who persevere. And examples given here to us by the apostle himself, basically, that the exhortation to persevere takes on an illustration. Hindi lang po niya sinasabi, oh, persevere ka, no, as an ideal thing. That is what we must do. Okay, all of us, you know, all of you people. Okay, he did not speak of that, brethren, devoid of looking into his own life and realizing how he himself needed to persevere, how he himself needed to grow in his understanding of who God is in his life and of the precious gospel. So this illustration shows the relationship as well between the gospel, our service to God, and our trust in the power of God. Okay, so makikita po natin na vividly kung paano po in-illustrate po ito ni Pablo ng ating pong kaugnayan sa Ebanghelyo, sa paglilingkod sa Panginoon, at kung paano po tayo patuloy na magtiwala sa Diyos. The question here is, brethren, are we truly convinced that the gospel is indeed the power of God, the promise of life that fuels our perseverance? Are we truly convinced of the preciousness of this gospel? Are we truly convinced to be able to say, this is my life. This is what the Lord has given to me. And I will guard it by all means. I will not deny my Lord. I will not be ashamed of Him. I will continue to run the race with endurance. I will keep on fighting the good fight. I will finish my race. I will keep the faith because I know that He is the one whom I have believed. I'm going ahead of myself here, brethren. In these two verses, we'll be looking at verse 11 and 12 po muna. Makita po natin itong dalawa pong characteristics po na ito. How it is to persevere knowing that the gospel is indeed the power of God. And there's no way we can be ashamed, brethren. Look at Paul's opening statement, opening phrase in verse 11, brethren, for this gospel, for the sake of this gospel, I was appointed. Verse 10 and 11 connects us to that which, in my translation from the NASB, it says, for which, for what purpose, what is the object of that? Well, that is none other than the gospel itself. For this gospel, brethren, I want you to think about this for a moment, brethren. How do we see our experiences, our triumphs, and our sufferings in connection to the gospel? Pagdating po sa mga nangyayari po sa buhay po natin, do we recognize the mercy of God toward us sinners? Do you recognize the love of God for us? That He will never leave us nor forsake us, and He has not abandoned us because He has already given to us His Son, Jesus, who gave His life for us. In all our successes, we begin to say, Lord, it is not I, but the Christ in me. With all the things that we experience and we rejoice in them, we begin to thank God, Lord, You are my provider. You are my sustainer. You are my protector. The precious gospel reminds me, Lord, that I am no longer condemned, Lord God, to die for all eternity, but I am now a child of God, and I belong to Him, and He will guide me through life, whatever I go through. Even in the midst of sufferings, He will continue to accomplish His work in my life. Brethren, there is that connection between the gospel and what we experience in our lives. That's why we say that we preach the gospel to ourselves, even as believers. That's why we begin to examine the aspects of the gospel message. When we sin, we begin to realize, Lord, You are my victory. Lord, when I go through my sufferings and my trials, Lord, I still recognize, Lord God, how blessed I am because of what You've done for me. And we begin to thank God instead of complain, instead of doubt God's grace and goodness upon you. You see that in connection with what you have received from Him. Because you consider yourself undeserving, you begin to say, Lord, I am even more blessed right now because I have You. Sometimes po kasi sa ating pong paglakad, sa buhay po natin bilang mga Kristiyano, we are tempted to complain, kung kailan pa ako naging Kristiyano, doon pa dumami yung problema ko. Kung kailan pa ako nagseryoso sa aking lakad sa Panginoon, doon pa ako pinersecute ng mga kapamilya ko. And precisely that, brethren, where is the most severe difficulty? In the midst of battle or outside of the battle arena? Saan ba mas mahirap yung labanan? Doon sa ring ng boxing o doon sa labas sa mga nanonood? Doon po sa loob, di po ba? If you are doing God's work, if you are doing God's will, if you are there joining in the fight and participating in the Lord's work, then definitely you are going to encounter the fierceness of the battle, the severe difficulties and the trials. And the more you want to live godly life, the more the world will see you and the world will target you, the more you will stick out. Because the world continues to plunge itself in ungodliness and unrighteousness, you as a child of God, ano sabi ng Bible, you shine forth God's light in this perverse and wicked generation. You shine forth as stars in the midst of darkness. When do you see the stars? Is it during the day? No, it is during the night. It is during the night, brethren, as the night gets darker and darker, we begin to see the brightness of the light of the stars. And it's the same way, brethren, the people of God are being marked out because of their connection with the gospel. We are being marked out, brethren. And we see here some essential characteristics we need to have. First of all, in being compliant to God's commission. Being compliant to God's commission. Look at verse 11 and 12, first part. Paul declares to Timothy, but now has been revealed by the appearing of great, verse 11, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Again, brethren, when Paul speaks of the calling of God for him through the gospel, he reminds himself that he was just a servant of God. He reminds himself that he was just chosen and called by God according to his own purpose and will. Remember that he did not put himself in this position. He has been called by God and the calling of God to be His servants, to be His slaves, to be the people who represent Him to the world. Okay, something that was given to each of us as God's children. And that's why it is a privilege. It is always a privilege to be called a servant of God. And much more, brethren, to be able to serve God, to be able to do the works that God has called us to do. What a privilege that is. And Paul was reminded of that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Ito po sabi ni Paul. 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 14. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me in service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance or ignorantly in unbelief. I thank Christ who strengthened me, who considered me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Even though in his past life, he knew that he did not deserve to be called these things. He did not deserve God at all in his life. He did not deserve to be called a servant or a slave of the Lord. And that's why in verse 7 also, in chapter 2, the same, he said, chapter 1, first letter, pa rin po, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, sabi po niya, for this I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Here, he wanted to show Timothy, okay, again, in connection with the gospel message, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. The one who mediates between God and man. Sabi po niya dito, Christ Jesus who gave himself, and I was appointed for this purpose. He was given the mandate, brethren, to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's divine appointment really indeed includes him being a chosen instrument of God. In Acts chapter 9, remember his conversion experience? How he met the Lord on his way to Damascus to be able to persecute Christians there? Okay, the Lord met him through a blinding light. And Jesus told him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It is as if he was persecuting the Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And from that time, okay, Paul had turned, his life turned around, and he met Christ. He knew Christ right now. The Christ whom he was persecuting, even through the church, has now become his Lord and Savior. And he got blinded for a time. And then later on, Ananias came. The other Ananias, no, it's not in Acts chapter 5, no? Nanamatay na sa chapter 5. The Ananias, who was one of the servant of God, no, serving in the church, and he prayed for him. Okay, and God told him, "This is my chosen instrument." Perhaps, okay, he was hesitant to approach this guy. This guy was a murderer. This guy had placed many of us to prison, and who am I to pray for him and guide him? Okay, but he obeyed anyway. Okay, and he was a chosen instrument. In Acts chapter 20, Paul speaks of his mission when he said, "I consider my life of no value to me in order that I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord has given to me." And what is that task? The task of testifying solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And he recalls in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, "I live to preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And he pronounced curse upon himself if he would not fulfill the mandate of God for him. And in these, brethren, makikita po natin kung paano ang mga pinili at tinawag ng Panginoon sa kanya pong gawain ay tunay pong itinalaga po niya para sa sarili po niya. God sets them aside, sets them apart to be His instruments, to be His effective instruments in His gospel work. And when they experience difficulties, of course, ito po, no, kanyang panawagan, tatlong areas. I've been called a preacher or a herald in other translations, someone who announces from the king, no, to be an emissary to the king. Okay, someone who would go in the midst of the battle to negotiate, to speak to their enemies, to communicate the gospel message in our situation. Okay, Paul reminds the Corinthians, God, who has reconciled us to Himself, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, and that we are called ambassadors for the Lord. And as ambassadors, He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Both the ministry and the message has been entrusted to us, brethren. He has also been called as an apostle. Then that speaks of his authority from the Lord. A teacher at that, brethren, in interpreting the message authoritatively, authoritatively proclaimed. Hindi naman po yan masyadong significant, but nevertheless, Paul specifies these things. Perhaps in the order of priority, or in the facets that God had given and called him to perform the task that the Lord had called him. The priority, of course, is to preach the gospel. The priority is to preach the gospel. Brethren, a well-rounded gospel ministry is to be actively involved in proclaiming the gospel, to reach out to those who had not yet heard him, and that is being sent forth by God everywhere we go, brethren, and to impart this truth to believers in order to build them up in their faith. Hindi lang po tayo mag-share ng gospel, tapos abandonahin na po natin sila. We go out and share the gospel, and then we continue to follow them up. We continue to teach them. Remember the Lord's mandate? The calling to make disciples, brethren. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples." The main command there is to make disciples. As you go, as you are going out, as you are evangelizing and sharing the gospel everywhere, make disciples. That is your purpose. And as you make disciples, this is what you're going to do. You baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Are we doing our part, brethren, in this gospel ministry? Are we taking the time to preach the gospel? We may not be called to be like the Apostle Paul himself, but definitely all of us are called to proclaim the gospel. In this time of the pandemic, this is a time when people's hearts really are ripe. Brethren, samantalayin po natin habang mayroon pang window na binibigay sa atin ng Panginoon. You might be surprised, brother, how many people had come to Christ during this time of the pandemic. You might be surprised how many people have heard of the gospel message as a result of the preaching of the gospel everywhere, even through social media. Yung mga time ng lockdown po, doon po mismo, yung mga kapamilya po natin, hindi nakikinig ng gospel, di ba? Pag pinalakas mo lang yung volume, di ba? Kahit hindi man po sila directly nandoon, perhaps at the back of their minds, they're listening to something. Or how much more if we encourage them and really ourselves share the gospel to them and reach out to them. Going out of our way. Having our own pulpits, brethren, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever God has placed us, to impart the truth to those who have believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And let them grow in the church and let them grow in discipleship. That is a well-rounded ministry. And yes, brethren, this gospel ministry is appointed by, this ministry appointment is marked by suffering. Again, Paul reiterates, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, sabi po niya, for this reason, again, also suffer these things. I also suffer these things. Faithfulness to the word, to proclaim the undiluted gospel, with God-given authority and divine insight, will be met by opposition and affliction from the world. The closer you are to the Word, brethren, the farther you are and the more persecution you're going to meet from the world. And you cannot stand your on two worlds. Sabi nga po nila, di ba? Either you are with the Lord, for the Lord, and you follow the Lord, and you keep His Word in your heart so that you will not sin against God, or you are away from the Word of God. Sabi nga po ng sulat, di ba? This Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Okay? It will keep you from the lures of the world, or the world can also keep you out from the Word of God. But thank God that as we begin to be faithful to Him, we preach the undiluted gospel with the authority that God has given to us, with the truthfulness, with the divine insight, brethren, the call of God reminds us to do this. And in response, sabi ni Paul, yet this is no cause for shame. I am not ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the Lord and of me, His prisoner. He gets back to his point. He did not want Timothy to turn his back on the Lord. And in his condition of suffering, it has not moved him to feel ashamed for the gospel. Instead, okay, he was not ashamed. Sabi nga po niya sa Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. First to those who believe, to the Jews, okay, and then to the Gentiles. The perspective of John MacArthur, brethren, when it comes to how we are to be compliant in the ministry, in the commission of the Lord. Sabi po niya, just to encourage us also, faithful ministry in the Lord's service is always bittersweet. It brings suffering and joy, disappointments and gratitude. Do you feel that, brethren? I've asked you this question a while ago in connection to the gospel. How is your experience in the Lord? Is it bittersweet? Is it partly suffering and partly joy? And being able to say, Lord, it's all worth it. I thank you that I'm considered worthy, Lord, and faithful to the call that I have received from you. The worst and most severe suffering we endure is not comparable then, brethren, to the eternal future glory that we will experience in the Lord. No matter how difficult, bagaman sabi po kanina, bittersweet, it's a mixture, brethren, of triumph and trials. It's a mixture of difficulties and joys, brethren. But we know that Paul reminds us that the things that we endure now really are nothing. What is temporal or things that we experience here in this finite life to eternity, brethren, walang wala po yan. Kaya sabi ni Paul sa 2 Corinthians chapter 4, okay, the eternal weight of glory far outweighs all the trials and the difficulties that we experience in this life. It far outweighs all the trials and difficulties in this life. I'd like to ask you this, brethren, what do we look for when it comes to gospel ministry? Do we choose on the basis of convenience or complete dependence on the Lord? Kung lang ba yung gusto mong gawin or willing ka, are you willing to take on the challenge to fulfill your ministry with no matter what the cost? Yung pong tanong po sa atin, Paul said, I was appointed for this purpose. I was appointed because of the gospel ministry. I am a herald, I am a preacher, I am an apostle and a teacher. Are we fulfilling our role in the gospel cause, brethren, no matter what the cost? Secondly, confident in God's preservation. What did Paul say here in second part of verse 12? Second part of verse 12. Sabi po niya, for this reason, also I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Why? Because or for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul was confident in God's preservation, and so you must, we must, brethren, be confident of God's preservation. I know whom I have believed, sabi po niya, that the sufferings he endured had not diminished his confidence in God. He sees that in verse 10, sinabi na po niya yon. God himself, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, is the same God who will enable me to persevere, and not only to persevere, but will preserve my life. He will preserve my life. I know whom I have believed. And he resolved, brethren, to know God with certainty, to know God personally, and not just personally, but intimately, brethren. That was his resolve in Philippians chapter 3 as well. That he suffers. He was willing to suffer. I am willing to be identified with the sufferings. I want to know him. And the fellowship in his sufferings. And be able to identify with his resurrection life. When all of these things, so he considered himself as a servant of God, and as a willing servant, but he remained in his understanding and desire to resolve in his knowledge of God, in the certainty of that knowledge, the personal knowledge of God and the intimate knowledge of God. Hindi po nawala sa kanya yon. Gusto ko makilala pa ang aking Panginoon. And here he said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I believed. He knew by experience. He knew him intimately. He knew him really as his faithful God. The object of Paul's certain knowledge was not a thing or even God's truth. As important as that is, but rather God himself, it was not theology for theology's sake or sa lingwahe po ng ilan. Theology. Marami ka ng theology, pero hindi naman na-apply sa buhay mo. Sana hindi po maging ganun ang ating experience sa Panginoon. But through theology, brethren, through theology and through knowledge of God, humbles us, allows us to understand God Himself as the center of it all, whom we are submitted to, whom we want to follow, whom we want to honor and glorify all throughout our lives. He had believed in this God Himself through the revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why he did not just boast in saying, I know God. He knew God in Christ, Jesus, my Lord. He knew God Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who had given to Him that true revelation. And then He said, He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him. It is a legal term denoting something which a person places under the safeguard of another. When taking a long journey, he would deposit his money and his valuables with a friend and trust him to restore it on his return. Yun po ang understanding po dito ni Paul. Okay, he knew God to the extent that he trusts God with everything. God Himself can be counted upon to safeguard His sacrificial life and service. From the beginning of time, when he came to know the Lord on that road to Damascus, up to the very end when he was awaiting his sentence, as he was being imprisoned, and no end in sight, no freedom in sight, and he knew that that's going to be his last. And so he reminds Timothy, God can be counted on. God can be counted upon. He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him. I have entrusted my life to Him. And definitely Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? All these things, he says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For he is convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, might be able to separate him from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul was confident solely from his close, unbroken relationship with God, to whom he unreservedly gave his all, going about his divine mission with no concern for his own welfare, safety, or his own life. Alam po natin yan, mga kapatid, ang kanyang relasyon sa Panginoon is what kept him moving. What will keep us moving and persevering, brethren, is not our own abilities. It is the Lord and our relationship with Him. It is the Lord preserving us and keeping us. So at the end of it all, it is not, as Paul said, that I have taken hold of Him, but He has taken hold of me. Ang ganda nga po ng Roman handshake eh. Diba? Illustrate po natin sa EE. Diba? Sometimes we do handshake like this. But the Romans do this. If any of you let go, okay, one can still hold you. In the way that God assures us of our salvation, it's even more than that, brethren. My Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me. No one will be able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I, sabi po niya, will keep them, and I will not let any one of them to perish. Grabe po yung protection na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon. The security that we have, the preservation that we have, it's been reserved for us, brethren, in the last days. Philippians 1:20, Paul knew and he understood how he experienced the difficulties in this life, but he said, I want to honor God. Okay? If even in this present life, he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I live to please God. Sabi po niya, whether present in the body or absent in the body, okay, this is my purpose. To honor and to glorify God. And lastly, in 2 Timothy, that's what he said. He He has kept the faith. He has fought the good fight, and there is a crown of righteousness laid out for him. Yes, brethren, we are confident in the Lord's preservation. Because of who the Lord is and His constant faithfulness, we have sufficient reason to persevere and not be ashamed of Him and of His precious gospel. Because of who the Lord is and His constant faithfulness upon us. That's why Paul can say, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to keep that which I have entrusted to Him that day. There is no way I am going to be ashamed of Him. And yes, brethren, as we cultivate our faithfulness, also know that God's power will surely enable us to overcome every suffering and affliction. The sufferings that we experience are not worthy to be compared to the realities of what Christ has already given us. And so we can overcome every form of affliction, every form of suffering by God's grace, by God's power. And because we have received God's commission, remember the first point? We have been commissioned by the gospel, by God through the gospel. We proclaim it with urgency and with boldness. Okay? We proclaim it as God's divine truth to the world around us. Huwag natin babaliwalain ang proklamasyon po ng Ebanghelyo. Patuloy ho natin itong ipahayag sa iba. And because we are convinced of God's preservation, we should pour out our lives for His kingdom, knowing that He will preserve us and in fact even multiply the fruit of our labors. If this was true to Paul, we know that this is going to be true for all of us. When Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I know that He is able to keep that which I have entrusted. Look at us right now. Look at the people who are going to follow us. Look at the people in the last days who are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say, Lord, it was all worth it. What I place in Your work, in Your hands, Lord God, You're able to multiply for Your glory. And thank God indeed for participating in the gospel work. We must be compliant to our commission. We must be confident to the Lord's preservation. Next week, we will look at the other two. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for You being our Lord and Savior, for helping us recognize, Lord, Your unfailing love and Your faithfulness toward us as Your church. We acknowledge You right now, Lord, in our midst as Your church. Salamat po, Panginoon, sa mensahe po ninyo sa araw po na ito. Tulungan po ninyo kami na lalo pang ipamuhay ang mga katotohanan po ito, O Diyos, sa gitna ng aming po mga kahinaan, sa gitna, Lord, ng aming mga paghihirap at pagdurusa. Panginoon, gabayan niyo po kami, tulungan po ninyo kami, Panginoon, na lalo pa na mabuhay ng tapat para sa inyo. I thank You, Lord God, for Your message. I pray for all Your people, Lord God, that we might continue to grow, Lord, in our understanding of Your call for us in the gospel, and that, Lord, we too might be effective, Lord, for Your glorious purposes. Salamat po, Panginoon. Lord, tulungan niyo po kami na magbigay ng tapat sa inyo at makapagbigay, Panginoon, ng buong galak, Panginoon, pagmamahal para sa inyo. Lord, as we dismiss, Lord God, Lord, continue to allow us to enjoy Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you po. Thank you so much.